Readers, writers, listeners, welcome. This is the Page Turners Podcast, and I am your host, Miranda, an avid reader, a published author, and a longtime listener of podcasts. This is the Page Turners Podcast, Season 2, Episode 14. Merry belated Christmas and happy early New Year. I'm not sure about you guys, but this week between the holidays always has me feeling in a little bit of a limbo, like I'm not quite sure what day of the week it is. So knowing that the podcast drops on Thursdays has really helped me keep on top of this week. And it's the last full week before I head to Miss America. In fact, I fly out in exactly 1 week and then I'll check in for Miss America just 2 days later. It's surreal. It's a surreal feeling to know that something I've worked so hard for, even without knowing it at times, is actually coming to life. Like, I'm actually going to compete on the Miss America stage, and maybe that will bring some more listeners and guests into our Page Turners podcast family. But before we dive into this week's episode, I wanted to remind everyone that after today, there is only one, just one episode left in Season 2. Where in the world did it go? But of course, you can always go back and listen to any of the old episodes that you liked or may have missed, and hopefully we will be back for Season 3, and perhaps this time as Miss America. Here's to manifesting and putting that out into the universe. But anyway, to today's episode. It's a discussion with the 2023 South Dakota Teacher of the Year. We talk about her role as a music educator, as well as how she uses reading to connect with her students both musically and as a way to create a bond with them. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this one. Please welcome Alyssa Castles.
My name is Alyssa Castles, and I am the 5 through 12 band director at Dual High School in Clear Lake, South Dakota. I am also the 2023 South Dakota State Teacher of the Year. Mm-hmm. I am married to my high school sweetheart, and we have two dogs.
Oh, I love that. So tell me a little bit more about your job specifically. I was a band geek. I put quotations around that, but you know, that's how people describe it in high school. But I did band, I did choir, I loved it. But talk a little bit more about exactly what your job looks like.
So I get everything band related at our school. I start the kids in fifth grade and I get to work with those same kids all the way till they graduate high school, which is 8 years of their academic career. And that includes everything you can think of for a small school: pep band, jazz band, concert band, drumline, marching band, any of the traveling that we can do during the year. And then just my daily lessons with fifth grade through eighth grade, and ensembles for fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and high school.
That's incredible. I love, you know, I grew up in a small town, and we didn't have the same music teacher fifth through 12th, but I kind of understand that. It's really, really unique, the experience that you get growing up in small towns. Talk with me a little bit about your passion for education and how you kind of found that passion and why you choose to do it to this day.
I was actually just answering this question for another podcast, and I kind of have an untraditional answer. I love reading. Every time I read a new book, I found a new career that I envisioned for the rest of my life. I wanted to be whatever the main character was in that book. So I actually was ready to graduate high school with the idea of going into psychology, specific trauma psychology, working with the Red Cross, traveling the world. And then I ended up getting a scholarship that paid full tuition for music education, and kind of decided that I needed the help with tuition. And I loved education. I loved school. I always enjoyed like coming to class, doing my homework, doing the out of school stuff. So I thought I could be a teacher. This would be fine for me. And what has kept me in education is my kids and getting those 8-year relationships with them and just really getting to be a big part of their lives as they grow up. Everything I do is just for my kids and how much they invest into me in return for what I give them.
I think it's probably something that, you know, when you're in high school, 5th through 12th, even, you know, you probably don't think how impactful that's going to be. But as that band geek, as that kid who participated from 5th grade all the way even into college, you know, it is impactful. It's really important. I think music education is something that everybody should have experience in, at least, you know, at some point in their education. You already brought up books and reading, which we are going to get more into because, of course, that's what the Page Turners podcast is about. But in order to get there, I think we need to talk about the incredible honor that is being the South Dakota 2023 Teacher of the Year, because that's how I found you and connected with you. So, first of all, congratulations. That's
Thank you.
incredible. Second of all, what does that mean? Tell the listeners, you know, what it means to be Teacher of the Year and to have this honor.
So, a lot of my year has consisted of, well, let me backtrack. So, I was named the 2023 Teacher of the Year in October of 2022, which is a little bit confusing because that's complete opposite of all your other MVP sports awards. Normally it's at the end of the season. But what that meant was that I was going to represent South Dakota for the year of 2023, both in state and on national level as well, as the Teacher of the Year. So in state, I have been traveling to all of our Board of Regents colleges and speaking with both pre-service teachers and high schoolers that are maybe interested in going into education of some sort. I have gotten to speak at a lot of our South Dakota DOE mentorship programs, and I have done some breakout sessions at PD for various schools. And I just kind of have been saying yes to every opportunity that arises. But it's been a fun year of just really traveling and promoting what education looks like in general, but also specifically in South Dakota and all of the wonderful things that come with it. And yeah, that's kind of been at a national level. It's been a lot of just honoring teachers of every grade, of every level, of every specification. And we've gotten to really advocate for our states in the White House. Where else? Yeah, it's kind of been a whirlwind of a year. It's crazy that it's coming to a conclusion.
I can imagine. I really quickly, have you ever run into an Emily Dinkin or Miranda Mack?
I have not. I know of Miranda Mack. I believe she's related to some of the people in this area, the Hantons, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, the only reason I
So.
bring it up, they have competed or are competing in the Miss South Dakota organization. Miranda was Miss South Dakota. And they're both music education teachers. And I know that South Dakota can be rather small. So I was just curious if maybe you'd run into them. I'm sure at some point you guys probably will. What was your reaction to being named the South Dakota Teacher of the Year? Is that something that you ever thought would happen for you, or something that you had ever, you know, thought, oh, how cool would it be to have that honor, to be able to speak on a national level and a state level?
Absolutely not. It was not in my wildest dreams. I knew that our district had a teacher of the year, but I didn't know that it went past that. I didn't know that there were region teachers of the year and then a state level teacher of the year. So it was not even on my radar. It came out of nowhere. I was very shocked and humbled and honored. And I think it's such a hard thing to pick a teacher of the year because we all know so many amazing educators that all could have the same honor.
So how I mean, I probably had seen something about this, which is incredible, you being named South Dakota Teacher of the Year. But what really caught my eye is the South Dakota Department of Education has started a new literacy initiative, and they actually kind of used you as their ambassador when talking about that on social media, and you talking about your love for reading, which you mentioned before. So I want to move into that piece of Alyssa talking a little bit about your love for reading and where that stems from.
I was trying to think of this, knowing that I was going to be talking with you today, and I can remember reading for as long as I can remember. I remember reading being a part of my life. I remember both my grandparents and my parents reading to us at a very young age. I remember the minute I could start reading, I was reading to everyone around me. Once chapter books came along, I started those and never wanted to quit. I was the kid that rushed through my Dakota step testing because I knew
You
that
could
meant
read.
20 minutes of reading at the end of it, or I had three times as many AR points as I needed because I just kept finding another book. And I just love reading, and I don't really remember when it started, but I've just always loved reading.
So, do you have a favorite book? You said that you've been listening to the podcast, so you probably knew that question was coming. Is there a favorite book of yours?
No. No, there are way too many.
That's
I
like
remember
a
specific
good
books from when I was little. I think on the DOE page, I quoted I Think I Can from The Little Engine That Could. That was something that my grandma always used to fake her car was stalling out on a hill, and then we couldn't get up it unless we were all chanting, I think I can, I think I can.
Oh.
And I remember some of the first series I started reading, but I could not pick a favorite book. I bet I read a couple hundred books a year. And to pick a
Really?
favorite from that, I just couldn't do it.
So you, I mean, I'm an avid reader, but I will be the first to admit I don't read a couple hundred books a year. How do you do that? How do you make time for that? I think that's something we can all strive for.
Well, I guess during the summers, yeah, that is kind of something that is like, wow, what else do you do besides read? But I read a lot during the summer, and I read a lot when we're traveling. And some of them are shorter books. I love the Kindle Unlimited and how it's basically a library card for you. And so I read some of those shorter books that you can maybe finish in a day if you accidentally stay up till 2 o'clock on a school night. But
I think we've probably all, well, I say we all, but yeah, people who are avid readers have probably all done that once,
yes,
at
because
least.
you only, it's just one more chapter, right?
Right, I'm almost done. I'm almost to the end, and then it's 2 a.m. and you're like, "Oh, I had more to go than I thought I did."
But
It happens
I
to
guess one of my favorite series, if I could pick a series, would be the O'Malley series by Dee Henderson.
Okay,
It's
I've heard of
something
that.
that I read in high school, and since then I've probably read it an additional five, six times. I just keep going back to it after I finish a new series.
I'll have to look that one up. A series counts. You can pick a series of books
Okay.
too. It
Perfect.
doesn't matter. You can have as many favorite books as you want. I always go with the Twilight series because that I can't pick just one of those books. But same thing, you know, there are kids from my childhood, books from my childhood that were hugely impactful too. So I think when you are an avid reader, and for those who may listen that maybe aren't avid readers or still are looking for that passion, once you do find that book or that series that really sparks that love for you are going to find so many that just really draw you in, and maybe even a couple hundred a year, which I'm still mind blown over. I'm a competitive person, so I'm going to like put that in my to-do list for next year after we hit the new year.
I might be exaggerating. I should probably keep track so that I don't accidentally lie, but it's a lot.
I think so my mom is a big reader too, and she uses, I think you can like create an account with Goodreads and track what you read through there too. So maybe that's a way. Maybe I'm sure Kindle has some way that you can look and see the number of books, the breakdown.
That's what I should do. I should keep track.
So I always speak to the fact that literacy and reading is a foundation. It creates a foundation for your education, your career, everything that you do in life. So I would love to get your perspective on literacy and how you think it directly impacts music, especially because that, I mean, music for you is that's your livelihood, that's your life.
I think literacy is so important. I think if you are a good reader, you are going to be better at a lot of your classes, music included. I love comparing music to reading. I like talking about our double bar lines as the period at the end of the sentence. I like talking about how if there isn't a double bar line, it keeps going and your paragraph isn't done. And I like talking about how when we start using accents and staccatos and other stuff in music, it's like we're saying the sentence in a different way. We're maybe shouting it this time or emphasizing a certain point. And maybe that's just from my love of reading, but I just think that it can connect to everything, to every subject. Every new thing that we learn, I think, can stem back to that literacy. Reading your music at a good pace goes back to being able to read a sentence at a good pace. And I just think it can tie into so much in life, but in school specifically.
I love that kind of analogy of using, like think of your music, your the bar, the line of music as a line in a book. I played an instrument for years and years and years, and when I was in high school, I actually switched from the clarinet to the drums. And I don't know if I've shared this with my mom, so maybe her listening, she'll be surprised, but I struggled reading the music. I actually had a really hard time with it, and that was part of the reason that I think for me, I wanted to switch from the clarinet. I couldn't ever really pick up the piano. I had to hear a song in choir before I could actually sing it. I had a lot of trouble with sight reading, but I think if I had looked at it that way, as if I was reading the line within like a paragraph or a book, I think that's a really great way to connect that and to make it maybe a little bit easier to digest. I think that's I'm like, I want to get my clarinet back out and see if I can do it.
Yeah, and we talk about it a lot with phrasing, and we connect it with singing too, that you wouldn't sing Mary had a bleh, so then we talk about you wouldn't read it like that, you wouldn't sing it like that, so we're not going to play it like that on our instrument.
That's it. I'm okay. I'm gonna share that with the other music teachers I know, because I think that's such a great way to connect that. And then maybe it is kind of inspiring for that student who feels like, oh, I'm not a very good reader, but I love music, or I love this. So in order to excel in this thing that gives me passion, I have to be a better reader. So then it kind of ignites that, they kind of feed onto each other. I think that's really, really interesting. You mentioned that good readers tend to do better in other subjects. I would be interested to know how you think we create those better readers. What do we do? How do we make sure, for me, I look at access, education, and representation. Those are kind of my three main pillars. But how do we, as the adults and as the people in this world that have that passion for reading and understand that importance of literacy, how do we spark that for others?
I think a big thing with everything that we're trying to ignite passion in our students for comes from finding what connects for them, what way are they going to learn it the best, but also what excites them about what you're teaching. I was just having a conversation with a student a few days ago that loves art, but anytime she's assigned art and has to do it a specific way with a certain number of things or a degree of lines, then she loses her love for completing that. And then it's just another assignment. So if we can figure out ways to engage the students in a way that is important and special to them versus just assignment after assignment or one way of looking at things, I think that is huge for the students and the young kids that we have these days, is finding what really connects for them, because there are so many different ways of learning, more than I remember when I was in school. But I think it's important for them to be invested in it and engaged in it and not just look at it as another thing that they have to do.
Yeah, I have the great opportunity as Miss South Dakota to kind of travel around and speak with different age groups at different schools. And when I ask the question, raise your hand if you like to read. And maybe half the room will raise their hand. And then for the people who don't, I say, well, why don't you like to read? And a lot of the time, especially as you get older into high school, those students say, well, I'm just reading for class. I'm reading a textbook, whatever it may be. So I think that's very true that, well, yes, those textbooks and that reading is important, but also finding those engagement, those engaging, that engaging literature, I think is really important. I agree with that wholeheartedly. So you're an avid reader, clearly. You're not an author. That's okay. This podcast, the discussions don't always happen with authors. But for somebody who does read so much, do you think you would ever want to write yourself and be a storyteller yourself?
It used to be a dream of mine to be an author. But then the more I read, the more worried I became that I could never come up with an original story. That would all it would all be bits and pieces of stuff that I had read before. But as I've gotten older, especially with the Kindle reading, I have found a love for editing and catching mistakes, whether it be a name. I love reading like series and a lot of stuff from one author. So I love it when I catch like a name that's wrong. Or, they used the wrong person from the wrong series. And that's kind of a weird thing to find delight in, but I love finding mistakes. So I think I would prefer to be an editor over an author and kind of read the raw stuff before it's put out there for the rest of the world.
That would be a really cool job, wouldn't it? And even maybe just kind of like a side gig, just to read and to consume, things that aren't even out there into the world yet. You like to edit things. Do you want to read my Miss America paperwork? It's due in a couple days.
Absolutely. I love doing stuff like that.
I need a few more eyes on it, just to make me feel better before I hit send on it. So I think I've asked like everyone and their grandma the last
Oh,
couple of days.
funny.
Do you want to be that next set of eyes? I
That's
think
so
that's really
exciting.
interesting. It is very exciting. It's I had a dream of becoming an author one day too, and I have done that now because of the Miss America organization that kind of pushed me to actually make it happen. I wrote a kid's book and have now gotten that published and would someday love to actually write like, the great American novel, that sort of thing. But I kind of felt that same way. And I think it was incredible that I had that to kind of just push me to do it and say, take the opportunity. You have an idea, make it happen. But I never thought about that being the editor. That would be a really cool job too, and a very important job, catching those mistakes and kind of forming the books that we see. I mean, how incredible would it have been to read the O'Malley series first or Harry Potter first?
Yeah, those people are lucky.
Right? No kidding. I interviewed she was Miss Utah 2021, 22. I'm 21. And she is currently writing her first novel to be published. And she was talking about, sending that out to beta readers, which are pretty much just her friends and family. And I'm like, I want to be a beta reader. That sounds incredible. Like her idea was so, it was exactly in my wheelhouse of what I love to read for kind of that escapism. And I'm like, that would be incredible. That would be so cool.
I agree.
Well, Alyssa, is there anything else that you would like to add to our conversation about literacy? Anything that you think we may have missed?
I don't think so. I just want to praise you for your platform and this being the push, because I think it is, I don't want to say it's a dying, it's a thing of the past, but I really do feel like I connect less with students that have read books than I did 8 years ago when I started. And I get these kids in for lessons, and so we get to talk about what they're reading. And I have kids that encouraged me to read Harry Potter for the first time because I didn't read it as a kid. And so then we can have discussions about that and all these other books that they've read. But I'm finding that with my younger grades, I can't have those discussions because it's just not a prominent part of their life anymore. And I think it's so cool that you are pushing for it to be one again.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's I have, the crown, the platform for the year to be able to push for that, but I also think that we take a minute to, applaud you and to applaud the other people in the world that are thinking about that. Thinking about the fact that Literacy doesn't seem to be as important as it maybe once was, because by having this conversation and by you, reading a book you'd never read so that you can have a conversation with a student, I'm sure that meant everything to them. That is something to applaud too, that it's not just one person who can kind of make this change and make sure that literacy becomes a priority. It's all of us. We have to work together to make that happen. So while I thank you for the praise and the applause, I also offer that up to you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Page Turners podcast. Make sure that you keep an eye out for the next episode. And until then, leave a review, share with a friend, and check us out on social media at Miss America SD to keep up with all things literacy and falling in love with reading. Catch you next year.